We're going to be reading John 6:24 through 35. This is from the NRSV version, the bread from heaven. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got onto the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures all for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that Jesus the Father has set his seal." And they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered him, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Well, what sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, and it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you bread, the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is what comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the gospel of Christ.
Glory to you, O Christ. Amen.
Shalom, everyone. Last Sunday, we shared the Bread of Life sermon series number one. I'm sure you remember the amazing miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Yes, Jesus fed the multitude of 5,000 with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. One of the verses from last Sunday is John 6:11. "Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted." Yes, everyone enjoyed the meal as much as they wanted. Even though the menu had only 2 items, bread and fish, the people were truly satisfied with the all-you-can-eat fish and bread feast. Of course, it was just a one-time thing. Yet, the people kept coming and expecting to be fed again and again with free meals. So in verse 26, Jesus rebukes them. "You are looking for me not because of you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." You know, Jesus did not want them to miss the most important point in the first place. He wanted to teach them more than the bread that simply satisfies their basic need. Yes, his primary offering was, of course, actual bread for the body. However, he intended to teach about spiritual bread for their souls and eternal life. The feeding of the 5,000 miracle was the ultimate object lesson for Jesus to teach them the ultimate truth of himself being the bread of life, bread of life. Which ultimate truth? It is the truth that the bread of life, bread of God's love, will feed their hearts and sustain their hope in their lives. So, Now, according to this morning's text from John, Jesus tries to explain what the bread of life is all about. But the crowd keeps bringing up the historical food, manna, that their ancestors ate in the wilderness. Of course, the manna from God truly sustained the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness. However, Jesus now tries to emphasize that there is a new manna. In verse 32, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven." And he continues in verse 33, "For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So, if I can paraphrase his points in his proclamation, Jesus says, God's new manna from heaven is the bread of life, is the true bread from heaven. It's me, Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the source of your life, and I am the life giver to the whole world. I can imagine there might be a silent pause among the crowd right after Jesus has talked about these big words. And I'm not sure whether they understand what Jesus means or they are still confused about these bread things. Even though the John's text does not show any silence or any pause, finally in verse 34, they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Sir, give us this bread always. Sound familiar? I think they sound exactly like the Samaritan woman whom Jesus had encountered in the chapter 4 in the same Gospel of John. He is one of the depictions of Jesus and the Samaritan women at the well. Yes, their words are strikingly like this Samaritan woman's words. John 4:15 says, "The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water.'" Of course, at first, she had no idea what Jesus was talking about. She was confused about what Jesus was trying to say to her and what the living water he was referring to. Nevertheless, at the end of the conversation, she got it. Then eventually she became a witness of sharing the words of Jesus in her town. Amazing. Through her sincere testimony, many people in the town were able to believe in the Messiah. John 4:42 says, "We know that this is truly the Savior of the world," the people, the town people saying. Even though both the Samaritan woman and the crowd from John 6:6 had a limited understanding of the water and the bread as the mere physical water and bread, now in verse 35, Jesus proclaims the eternal living water and eternal life-giving bread. Verse 35 says, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." When the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, they desperately cried out to God for food and drink. And God provided them the manna, the quail, and the water. And why does God not intervene more directly today and save us from the needs and all kind of hurts and troubles? Why does God not make many more miracles today? One of my favorite authors is Philip Yancey. He has written many books on faith, hope, and resilience. And this book, Disappointment with God, inspired me greatly. In this book, Yancey writes, quote, "Some Christians long for a world well stocked with miracles and spectacular signs of God's presence. I hear wistful sermons on the parting of the Red Sea and the 10 plagues and the daily manna in the wilderness, as if the speakers yearn for God to unleash his power like that today. But the follow-the-dot journey of the Israelites should give us pause. Would a burst of miracles nourish faith? Not the kind of faith God seems interested in, evidently. The Israelites give ample proof that signs may only addict us to signs, not to God." Unquote. Exactly. The manna given to the Israelites were limited and temporary. That's why Jesus points out in verse 49, "Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died." All those manna in the wilderness were perishable. However, now Jesus teaches us the new kind of manna that are not perishable. Yes, Jesus is talking about the spiritual and eternal bread of life. Verse 50, "This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die." My brothers and sisters in Christ, our physical water, H2O, and the bread that represents the essential food are absolutely necessary for us to sustain and to pursue a meaningful life in our lifetime on this earth. However, our spiritual food, spiritual nourishment, are also crucial for our eternal life here and now and beyond. Remember, Jesus taught us how to pray from the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our," not the weekly bread, not the monthly or yearly or occasional bread. No, but our daily bread. Just as we need to consume physical food 3 times a meal every day, we as faithful disciples of Christ must feed our souls with the spiritual food daily. Weekly Sunday sermons are not enough for you to be strong or to discern spiritual matters. That's why you need to initiate your own personal Bible reading devotions or meditations, or to join a Bible study or Sunday school and so forth. Thanks to our co-lay leaders, Loretta Cutney and Mimi Luca, for their weekly words of encouragement emails. I've been enjoying those uplifting words every week. Yes, it is for the whole congregation. How do you feed your soul and your heart? You may develop your own system of spiritual nourishment and growth. And I highly encourage you to join at least one of the Bible studies or Sunday school that will resume in mid-September. More information and invitations will be announced to you by the beginning of September. Yes, Christ Jesus himself and his words are our true and eternal bread of life. And Jesus is God's new manna from heaven. Thanks be to God. All the God's people say, Amen.